It always comes back to Kung Fu Panda with you. For some reason, I feel like you talk about it all the time. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Orphic. My name is Alyssa. I'm an astrophysicist. I have my PhD, and I do research on the intersection of science and spirituality. So please follow me on Instagram at interdimensional.astrophysics. Hey.
Hey, I'm Michaela with Mariposa Moonchild on Instagram. So please go check me out there and follow me there. I work with shadow alchemy and energy medicine. And I desire to be a part of the ripple effect of healing across the planet. So yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
Okay, yeah. So let's ground in a little bit. We like to start every episode by just doing some deep breathing and getting present.
Yeah, I'm going to light some sage. The cool thing with quantum field, quantum reality, quantum, whatever, is that I can light this sage and even through your computer, your phone, YouTube, whatever. So the YouTubers can see it. Oh, I need to relight it. You can still get the smudging can go all the way through all of that right to you through time and space. So
quantum smudging.
I love that.
Yeah.
Quantum smudging.
It's going to be quantumly. So just
breathe in that sage.
It's going to be smudging me because I have sage upstairs and I keep on forgetting to bring it down to the basement. So thank you.
Let's do a little. Okay, perfect. All right. If you're able to, I invite you to drop in, tune in. Okay. I invite you to close your eye. Let's go. I invite you to close your eyes if you're able to. And we're going to take a few just deep cleansing breaths. Just bring it down. Get in touch with the body. Just come into the now. Take a deep breath in. Biggest breath of your day. Breathe it in. Sip up all that air. When you think you can't sip anymore, sip more. Hold it here. Open your mouth and let it go. Even audibly exhale. Another deep breath in. Filling your lungs all the way up. Pausing at the top. Feeling into your body, into the now. Open the mouth and let it go. Another deep breath in. Filling your lungs all the way up. Pause. Invite you here to hold for as long as you're able to. Feeling your heart beating, bringing all the tension you feel into your body, into the center of your chest. And then when you're ready, releasing that tension with the exhale. Letting it go. So interesting, our breath, this tool we have. It's always with us. It doesn't cost anything. This tool we can use to inhale light, peace into our bodies. And then the ability we have to let go with the breath. Release the tension, release the worry, release the stress. The cycle of always bringing in and releasing, bringing in and releasing. Now we get to use this tool and titrate it to what really works for us. Really optimize and use the tool. instead of it just being an auto replay in the background. When you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes and come back into now. How was your time at the eclipse?
Let's talk about that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
In case you missed it, I went to the total solar eclipse and I went.
Whoa.
And I went to Rochester, where there was totality and also where it happened to be the most amount of totality. That sounded so brat.
Whoa.
Sounded so braggy. I went to the most eclipse. Except,
I mean, it's pretty cool. That did not happen where I was.
Yeah, correct.
So to have the opportunity to be able to go to that is pretty cool,
yeah.
I think.
But I also went to,
what
were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that I seen that if you're outside during the eclipse that you will be cursed. Just kidding.
Nice.
Although I actually did see some controversial opinions about that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't say cancel clear, you're not gonna be cursed.
I saw some weird stuff about that too. But I was gonna say I went to the most eclipse, but I also went to the least eclipse because I actually didn't see the sun at all. Did I tell you about this? It was completely clouded, but I didn't care. So the thing is with eclipses, like, you're at the mercy of the weather in the sense of whether or not you can actually use your eclipse glasses and see the sun and see the moon going over it and everything. And the reason that I traveled to where totality was, though, was knowing that there was a risk of bad weather or a risk of not being able to see the sun in its entirety. And I didn't care because it was still going to turn nighttime during the day. And so that is why I went.
Yeah, still going to be dark, which is like the
biggest
thing. I mean, like, yeah, it would have been cool to like see it too, but like it still is going to be dark in the middle of the day, which is whack.
Yeah. And it was. And so like where I was in upstate New York, kind of, I think other parts of New York were more okay, but where I was in Rochester happened to be like, we drew the short end of the stick in the weather. It was completely clouded over, like really thick, dense clouds. Earlier in the day, it was a little bit more wispy and there was a little bit more like chance of seeing the sun or having them like go through. But then by the afternoon, it got completely clouded over. But I didn't care because, listen, I was going with the flow and I was happy to be there. And
what are you
gonna do? Exactly. Like that's like
it's a little out of your control.
I knew from the get when I planned the trip, I was like, it's out of my control. I'm not gonna worry about it. And I also didn't care that much because I've seen an eclipse before with glasses, actually just in October, where I happened to get my glasses, there was a partial eclipse in October. Cause I mean eclipse season is twice a year, so there's always a lunar eclipse followed by a solar eclipse every spring and fall. So I saw the partial eclipse in October and your face looks confused.
Well, I have a question, but I was also going to say before that, I was going to say, isn't like the whole like weather thing, like it's so interesting because as humans, I think we get so in the like, we can control everything. And then it's like, but we fucking can't. Like Mother Earth is like her own entity and her own being. And like, There's so many things like that we just like are completely out of our control and like we're at the mercy of and like weather being, well, that could be a whole topic, but if it's coming from Mother Earth, weather being one of them, and then just like natural disasters, fires, it's just like, it just really humbles you, that kind of stuff, you know, like,
oh yeah, totally. It's like
tsunamis, like what the fuck is a tsunami, bro?
No, it's crazy. Like
that will humble
that's
you.
Mother Nature, it really shows you who's boss, like all the time. Especially because three days before the eclipse, there was an earthquake in New York that I missed because that was crazy.
You're going to the eclipse.
I missed because I was on my way out of state to start my eclipse journey. I make it sound
that is
I make wild. It sound like a plant medicine journey. start my eclipse journey.
I mean,
in a way,
whatever it is to you, it is to you. It's a
it
journey.
It had some effect on me, I swear. Yeah, so that was crazy too. There was an earthquake in New York, which hasn't happened in 10 years. And the last one was also super mild. But it was just like
elements.
I mean, even though some people are saying that it was super sketchy that there was an earthquake shortly before the eclipse.
Oh,
some people are, yeah, there's some people that are saying it could have been controlled by the powers that were, but I don't know.
The powers that be. I didn't see anything about that, but like, I don't doubt it. That's
I don't doubt it.
I mean,
it's possible.
That's a lot of things.
Possible.
Okay, actually, this is a little bit of a tangent, but we'll circle back.
Tangents?
I feel like we always do. I do too. I seen somewhere down in the States, I want to say like it was like Tennessee or Oklahoma or something like that. They in the government have banned weather control through through sprays.
Yeah,
the planes.
Oh my God, I'm blanking on the word.
I know.
It's spraying.
Like, you know, we threw the fucking
chemtrails. That's the word. Chemtrails. Yeah.
Are you gonna get beeped for that?
No.
Whatever. That was crazy for me that they. So I don't know where it was. I'll have to like look it up. But did you see that?
Yes, I did see that. And by doing that, they're admitting what was formerly known as a conspiracy theory: the chemtrails.
Well, not you all only admitting. Well, admitting it is a huge part of it, but then like completely, like actually banning it. So it's like not even just like there's some truth to this like conspiracy theory that like you be called crazy for. And now it's like, no, this exists. Mm-hmm. I've already known this is a thing. Like you look at the sky, like you see them crisscross all over the place, and then all of a sudden you have a cloudy day when it was perfectly sunny out. Like it dissipates, you can see it. But for them to admit that. Yeah. In the United States too, and then ban it in that state is wild.
It is wild. It is some awakening shit. I don't know. Yeah.
And it's also like, and the banning part also lets us know, actually, it's not great. Whatever they're spraying.
Right.
It's not just condensation coming from the plane,
so
as
true.
Like the conspiracy theorists debunkers try to like say.
Yeah.
And it's also bad for us, like that it's actively harming us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, and also speaking of that, the night before the eclipse that I was driving through Rochester, I went to this the day before I went to this like really beautiful park that had like this awesome like waterfall and like big like canyon. I don't know. It was just like a really awesome, awesome spot in upstate New York. Anyway, then I was driving, that was really nice. Oh, the day before the eclipse was the most beautiful weather day I've seen, like, in the entire year. It was, like, the most gorgeous day, and I went to this beautiful park, and it was amazing. It was a very lovely day. And anyway, so I'm driving the night before. The roads up there are, like, super nice, actually. Like, I don't know, it was just something about it. It's kind of very, like, cornfieldy, you know, that's, like, my vibe anyway. But
upstate New York sounds really
cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I would love to go.
It's great. Going back and
pretty just like Ontario.
Yeah. I mean, what about Ontario?
So it's probably just like Ontario.
Oh yeah, yeah. Is that the is Ontario is the oh god. Is that the whole province of is that like this no, Ontario is just is that a place in Canada? There's Lake Ontario.
Yeah, there's Lake Ontario, and then there's the province of Ontario, which Toronto and Ottawa reside in.
I thought
so. It's touching New York.
Okay, yeah, I thought so.
It's a border of New York.
I just blanked on whether Ontario was like the name of a city or if it was.
I'm sure
it was
you did.
The name. I might have never known.
You're American. You don't know.
I might have never known. Well, we're going to have to cut that out. Just kidding. I'll leave it in.
We're not cutting that out. It's anyone that's like from Canada that's listened to this podcast will know it is hilarious, like the amount that Americans do not know about anything else about America, especially Canada, which they're bordering. Like, you tell someone you're from Canada, they're like, oh yeah, you're from Toronto, and I'm like, no. They're like, well, you must be close to Toronto. I'm like, that's so far away from me. So far away. It's like Vancouver or Toronto always. And I'm like, neither.
That's particularly bad for me, honestly, because I live on that side of Canada. I'm in New York my whole life and went to college in upstate New York. And I don't even know that Ontario is the name of the province that's right up there. Right?
Well, yeah, clearly.
Clearly.
You don't. I think it's, I don't know. No, it's not the biggest province. I would say Northwest Territories, but it's a big province. Totally. It's bigger than BC, and it's bigger than Alberta, which I grew up in Alberta and I live in BC now. So I feel like the only reason you know about BC is probably because I live here.
Yeah, it is. Never have I ever
and Alberta
said the words BC more in my life than the last year or two.
What does BC stand for?
British Columbia.
Nice. It's just, it's funny because I could just like never imagine talking to an American and they're just like, yeah, like I'm from America. And I'm like, do you live in LA? Are you from New York? It's just like, there's so many other places that they could be from.
Right.
And okay. I remember going like out of country, like going to Mexico or something when we were younger, and we would meet Americans, and there is dead ass Americans who thought Canadians lived in igloos. Dead ass. They would ask us if we lived in igloos. And I'm like, yes.
Did they think that some of them did, or they really thought that it was just the vibe up there?
I mean, I don't think they necessarily thought all of us did, but like, I think they thought that it was like common. Like it was like dead ass. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
How common is it?
It is wild. Huh?
How common is it?
I've never seen a real igloo before.
Noted.
I mean, how are you supposed to live in it? Your house would melt in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm looking at green grass and dandelions now.
That's true.
People, it's not like the Arctic. I mean, except for when we were really young, this was so much fun. It would snow a lot. Dad would make like a snow hill, and then he would like use a shovel, and we'd like make like an igloo and like play in it. That was like a lot of fun.
That's fun.
But like, I wouldn't like sleep like overnight in it.
I hope not.
Unless I was like maybe trying to run away, which I have tried to do before.
Right.
I don't think even up like really far up north, like I don't think we're living in igloos anymore. Like, it's definitely like colder up there, but it still becomes summertime. It's just, it's actually up north is so crazy because like there's like so many days in the winter where it's completely dark for 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then there's like the summertime where it's completely light for so many hours a day.
It's crazy.
So, but they still have like houses and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
yeah,
it's just different.
Yeah, guys, it's 2024. No igloos. No more igloos.
Yeah. This, yeah.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
So back
how
to
did we get onto-
I don't know.
How did we get onto that?
Something about upstate New York and how beautiful.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about how you know it.
So I was driving to my Airbnb. I was driving to my Airbnb and on this beautiful day, the night before the eclipse. And I was. Dad, I'm recording. What are you doing down here? What are you. I mean, I guess I could. What are you doing? Checking the leak in the basement. Oh, yeah, okay. There was a leak.
Hi, Jerry.
Want to say hi to Michaela? Okay. Yeah, there was a plumber here this morning because there was a leak. But this is a little distracting. All right.
Just recording continue? In your parents' basement's props.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, whatever. Maybe I'll just continue. All right, Dad, I'm going to continue, but just be quiet, okay? Never happened. Okay. So I was driving to my Airbnb and there was like a beautiful sunset and everything. And I look to this open sky and I see like a bunch of airplanes freshly spraying the chemtrails. It was like they had all just like set off because it was like, I seriously, like 10 of them and they had all like just started. And I was like, oh, it must be chemtrail o'clock or something here. Yeah. Anyway, so that was crazy.
It's wild. I see it all the time here. Like, I'll just like walk the dog or be outside. It'll be a beautiful day. And there's like these two like X's and I'm like, oh, beauty. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Have you ever?
Like, I'm trying like not to like be upset about it, but like sometimes it's hard. I'm like, fuck you. Like, what the fuck?
I know. Is this?
You're like, you're in a beautiful world, beautiful earth. And then you're just like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
like, there's that. And then there's also apparently like the weird weather, the weird patterns in the clouds that happen also from HARP or from the weather control things, where it makes like these really weird patterns. It's like, or it's also can be left over from the chemtrails. Anyway, sometimes I've seen people on Instagram stories be like, oh my God, these clouds are so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, they don't know.
These clouds are so beautiful. That's a weird thing to say about a chemtrail.
I've seen people say that they are mostly,
I'm like, asleep. How can you not know at this point? Like, you literally watch the airplane go by and you see them leave it and then it stays there and it like dissipates, like it's bigger throughout, like I like, and because like not all airplanes, like you, like sure, like there's the people who are like, it's condensation. It's not. Yeah. Because like not all the airplanes leave it. No. And there's been multiple pilots that have like been whistleblowers that have come out and been like, they're like, it doesn't, there's not, airplanes don't leave condensation. Yeah. Like that.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It's not a how thing. Come, it doesn't happen. Come, okay, like, whatever. The physics anyway, of it doesn't.
It's a lot about chemtrails. Okay, enough about chemtrails. Let's talk about the eclipse. So,
well, oh, sorry. What you were talking about the weather stuff. I was just going to say, like, have you, but like, there's like the lasers too. Like, there's all of this different stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. There's a lot of manipulation. Because
like, there was, well, there's so many weather manipulation things, but the lasers are very interesting, just with like, you know, the world's been fucking burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, in the last however many years. And not to say that Mother Nature doesn't do that, because I know she does sometimes to herself, mm-hmm. but there has been a lot. And and that technology does exist. Like that has come out. That's actually been on national television. There's this one clip of this man in 2013 talking about how they are learning how to control weather with lasers. That was in 2013. So where do you think they'd be with a technology like that in 2024? That's 11 years later. So
yeah, those reptilians are onto everything.
Oop, there it is. Anyways, food for thought. Moving on.
Moving on.
That was okay. The eclipse.
So. It was cloudy, but that's okay. I went to Lake Ontario for it. Speaking of Ontario. Okay.
Quickly. Remember when you said that you seen the first eclipse in Niagara Falls?
Yeah. Well, no.
The other side.
Yeah. I wasn't there for the eclipse. I was in Niagara Falls in 2017.
Oh, the other side of Niagara Falls is Ontario.
Yeah.
FYI.
Yeah. 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 I know that. I think. Well, yeah, I know it's like there, you know, Niagara Falls, you know, so I decided to go to this spot on Lake Ontario. That's kind of like a little beachy area, well, beach, whatever you want to call a beach. And it had like a park and a lot of people were gathering there. So totality for us was at 3:20 PM and so there was like, I got there pretty early at like 11, between 11 and 12. It was a little bit cold out because it was so cloudy and everything, but I just like, I was by myself. I brought a blanket. I brought a journal. I was journaling some intentions. Yeah. Because I had heard, so in terms of like this, cause we actually didn't really talk about the spiritual significance of the eclipse, but I had some realizations after still, but in terms of like, from what I had heard, obviously like eclipse season, I've heard a lot of people say that it corresponds to like a grand sweeping of fate, and it kind of just like brings fated, just like realigns, cosmically realigns you to your path and just because it's like a node point. It is like a intersection of, and it's like a specific alignment of things. So I think that it kind of just like cosmically realigns you to your path and everything, so to speak. So,
well, also this eclipse, this specific one, what has been like prophesized and has been talked about for like a really long time because of the totality of this and like where we're kind of at with like the planet and humanity. So, from my understanding, this was like a very big, this was like a shift. This was like a signal kind of onto that, onto a new timeline, really. It was like a quantum jumping is my understanding and also feeling in it. So I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you feel? What was your understanding of this eclipse?
Yeah.
I think so too.
And I think it was important to focus on what you were calling in and what you were wanting on your next timeline, on your highest timeline. And that is what I was doing. I was focusing on everything that I was wanting to build. And I was journaling. Like I did like a whole page of journaling on a bunch of different categories in my life, like, you know, business, the podcast, love life, all these other things. So I was journaling some intentions, which was really nice. And so, yeah, so it was completely clouded. Nobody had to use their eclipse glasses because I didn't even know where the sun was when the eclipse happened. But what I will say is, it actually made it, it was like a trade-off. It kind of made it like really cool because, so we all knew, like obviously the crowds were getting more and more. And then we knew it was 3:20. So like as it was approaching, people were kind of like expecting it. We're like waiting. We're like looking up, even though we're like not looking at anything. And sorry, my dad's leaving. Just refocus my thoughts. So it kind of made it cool because it was like we knew it was coming, but because unlike other people that were like actually watching it, go across and everything and seeing the moment that it happened, it was more of a like mystery. It was more of a mystery for when the actual peak of it was gonna happen. But so it was kind of cool because the sky was getting like a little bit dark and everyone was like, we were like, is this it? Like, is it happening? Like, is this now? And so it definitely started getting a little bit dark when I think it was at like 99% coverage, something like that. And then what I describe as the coolest moment of the whole thing was there was this like 2 to 4 second span of time where it was just like, whoosh. And it was like, oh shit, this is it. Like, oh, like this is it. This is the eclipse. And it was like, and that 2 to 5 second span was literally crazy because it was just like, it was like, when do you ever experience that? It was like when the darkness took over just like really fast and it was like, whoosh. And all of a sudden it was dark and, I could see some of the horizon because I was on Lake Ontario. I could see so far out, you know. I think people that were maybe like more concentrated into the city or that were just like in their house or their backyard, I think they definitely experienced a little bit darker, but it definitely felt like full blown nighttime. But I had it like a little bit lighter because I could see the horizon. So you could see some light like in the distance. But like looking forward into the city itself, like all the streetlights came on and, you know, there were some tall buildings and it looked like, yeah, like it looked like nighttime. And like in the video that I took still, like it looked like complete nighttime. And like, yeah, you could see like the city lights and all this stuff. And so for like, I have like a little bit of it on video of me, which is mainly just like this cool, but embarrassing, but cool video of just my reaction. Like I was kind of just like soaking it in. I was looking all around. I was just like, yeah, I was looking right. It was cool being with other people. I mean, I was technically alone, but I was with the community there. It was cool experiencing with other people and just seeing everyone be so excited. And so I was just like looking around, but my face looked like a child on Christmas. I don't know, we didn't celebrate Christmas, but I would imagine my face was just like,
I mean, I think you know what Christmas is.
My face was just
and
like,
by the way, I'm Jewish. insert.
That was just like the first thing that came to my mind.
Like Kwanzaa. Is that Jewish?
My face was just like,
get your brisket. So, just quick, that's an inside joke, but I'll tell everyone. Yeah. It's like, I grew up culturally where we celebrate Christmas, and Alyssa is Jewish, so her family doesn't celebrate Christmas. And then we were talking about, like, I think Hanukkah or no, what were we, Passover or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do Jewish people even eat? Because, like, I'm not really picturing this, like, turkey with the potatoes and the stuffing. And you're like,
yeah.
Bagels and brisket.
Brisket, yeah. We just had some for Passover this week. Brisket, that's what we do.
Yum.
Yeah. Brisket. Okay, so
your face was lit up at the eclipse. Was there a lot of people there?
Yeah, it was a lot of people. By the time, like, people were filing in a lot. And it was cool because it was nice. Like, everyone was bringing their chairs, their blankets. Like, everyone was posted up. And there's kids flying kites, and there's, you know, it's a whole community thing, and it was really cool. So it did feel like it went by fast. The totality where I was over 4 minutes, but it went four and a half minutes.
Oh, wow.
Of total darkness.
Because when you were initially talking about the 2 to 4 seconds, like, I thought that that was all that the eclipse lasted. I'm like, that's quick. I'm like, how would you even notice, like, the street lights and everything coming on? Because I don't really know. Like, I didn't see it. So
yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it was 4 minutes, but it was like that. Yeah. It was the 2 to 5 seconds that, like, it came on really quickly, where it was all of us, where it was like, oh shit, like, this is it. This is happening. Like, it just switches over to darkness. And so, yeah, I was really just taking it in. I was taking it in. I was looking around in wonder, and I was just like the video of my face, like, like, it was crazy. And yeah. And then it gets light, and then there's another, the light does come on kind of quickly. And again, but I would say the most exciting, still, like, the most exciting part was that few seconds where it just happened, where the dark came on quickly, because that was also like it was cool when the light came back quickly ish too. I mean, I feel like maybe the light was more subtle. It probably was the same where it was like, it just moves past. And like, at some point, like, it just switches completely. But I think because in the dark one is like the first time you're experiencing it. So that one felt, that was like the peak of the core memory for me, was that those few seconds where it just really took over. And yeah. And then I was just like, I don't know, like, the whole time I was just like sitting there, I was just like, what just happened? And like, so my thought, so that was like the moments themselves and what was all processing in my mind. And yeah, I was just trying to be present, even though I was videoing it a little bit and everything, but I was just trying to be present and just look around, just take it all in. And like, then all the thoughts just kept on, you know, the downloads, or not even like just the after effect of experiencing that just would come in over the next 24 hours of like what that meant. And what I'll say is, like, after experiencing that, like, I have a different, deeper understanding of why eclipses are so significant astrologically. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a really deep, I've experienced it now. Like, there's something about it that is just that it, okay, so it feels like it's very unnatural to the body, obviously, to just experience that change, because it's going quote unquote against the natural cycles of the day and everything. And obviously,
like, your like circadian mm-hmm. rhythm, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even though it's like, this is the thing, it's so, a lot of the effects that I experienced, or like what I'm thinking about it after, are so subtle. And that's why they're almost hard to explain, but it feels so subtle because it's very, it's like very subconscious. It's the fact that, yeah, because it's like to my logical surface mind, it's like, yeah, I knew that that was coming, right? Like, I knew that the sky was going to turn dark for 4 minutes. I knew that the moon was going to go in front of the sun and that it was going to turn dark. But then it's like the body's reaction, or like the subtle energy body's reaction to experiencing that. And so I think it was just so surprising to my brain, because
you
it was
see the
so
stars and stuff too, right?
Yeah, at other places. I mean, I couldn't, but a lot of my friends saw the stars.
Yeah, because it was cloudy where you were.
Yeah, because it was cloudy. Yeah. But I have friends that said that they saw stars. And wow. Like, so that's one thing. It's wow. It's like so unnatural to the body, or to the mind. It's so unnatural to the mind because it's so rare and it's so out of the rhythms. But then the other, like, this is the next main really deep thing that I have been digesting since, is that it is so like almost, it's so like apocalyptic in a way. Because, and it's like, and this is the thing, as much as you can know it's coming, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, I knew what it was. I knew the science of it. I knew that it was coming. And I also, especially with my, like, how much I'm thinking about the whole universe and how much I'm thinking about huge things. And like, I never really get that bogged down in this whole, like, oh, we're so little on Earth. And it's just like, for some reason, like, yes, I do, like, probably at like a very human level. Of course, I'm not like above that or beyond that. But like, I'm just so used to thinking about like everything big. Yeah. And so it doesn't faze me that much. But it was so apocalyptic, and not in a bad way. That's just the only term that I can use, because I think our brains are so used to, this is where it gets even more subconscious, and I think it's so subtle. Like, our brains, because the sun rises every day and that's our source of life and it's our source of energy, it's like our brains, I think of the sun as like the most mighty thing. Yeah. And in the sky, right? Like, it's like the most dominating thing in the sky. And
well,
so
we would
then,
be dead without it too. Like, it completely,
yeah.
Like, it,
yeah.
We need it for all life on mm-hmm. Earth. Like, we need it to grow our food and eat our food. We need vitamin D. Like, we need light in our body. Like, there's, yeah. the sun
yeah.
is a big deal.
It is. Yeah. And so we think, like, consciously and subconsciously, we're always thinking about it as like, we're like, that's why obviously they worshipped it. And people still do in these religions and calendars and all these things. And when there's something that is able to completely block it, it breaks your brain. Like, it kind of broke my brain a little bit. And it kind of, for a little bit, it makes you like question what's real in a way. Like, it makes you question reality, or it makes you just,
yeah.
It like turns you upset. It turns you around, because yeah. It's different to know it in
like
concept versus. Yeah. Yeah. Who did that? It's different to know it in concept versus to actually experience it and to see it, even though I didn't technically see it, and to see it like actually eclipse the sun, the moon eclipse the sun. It's like you're forced to have this understanding that there's something else big in the sky that was just able to cover the frickin' sun. And it brings that into the forefront of your reality. And it makes you think about those things deeper. And I just thought that was interesting for me too, because it just makes you think more about the fact that there's these huge things in space. And it's like, even me, like, I think maybe I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm just comfortable talking about all this stuff. Like, maybe I don't have
desensitized to it too, right? Because you've talked about it for
yeah.
so long. Like, you know,
yeah.
it's kind of like
that too.
You know, people that like work in the hospital or like that, just as something that I can relate to. It's like, after a while you get desensitized to, well, maybe this isn't super, anyways, but you get desensitized to everything that's going
on. Totally.
Right? And you don't think about
yeah.
some of those things as like, you're telling someone, you're like, oh, I was working with someone today and this happened in there and a car crash and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, you're
yeah.
always talking about that information
yes.
of the stars, and like, you're always in that world, so there may be an element of you becoming desensitized
yeah.
to it in a certain aspect.
I think so. I think it definitely is a little bit of that too for me, and
or just becoming
so
normal, right? It's just normal in your world.
Yeah, right. And it's like it forces you to be like, holy shit, there's like a huge thing in the sky called the moon, and it's able to just block out the sun. And it's like, holy shit. And just, and I don't know, it broke my brain a little bit. It, and it made me, it just made me like question things, or not even question anything specifically, but it made me just, this thing, I don't know, maybe at this point I'm at the point where I don't know how to describe it anymore. Like it kind of just, it kind of just turns you around a little bit.
Yeah, and kind of jolted you.
Mm-hmm. And so
shake you a little bit.
Yeah, like that, and also kind of just experiencing the like the darkness and like all of that combined, like everything what I just said combined with just experiencing it, like is makes me understand why it's so significant astrologically, and I mean that's and just to our lives. I mean astrologically is just a label, but like It's just a label to describe the what I believe is a larger scientific, like fundamentally true system of how the bodies in our solar system interact with our own energy bodies and our blueprints. And it's just a it just makes and because I think there's fundamental truth to it. And I think there's fundamental truth to the fact that eclipses and this really significant node point alignment and interaction, like there's just some fundamental truth that like what I experienced, like something shifted after that day, and I understand why now. Like I completely understand. I'm like, yeah, something happened there. Well, like yeah. Something happened.
I think it would be quite jolting to our bodies who rely like completely on the sun for survival to be like, oh, like something like blocked it and went in front of it. Cause like the sun is also something like it's absolutely vital to our survival, but we do take it for granted. Like it's always there. It's always there in the morning. It's, you know, like it's always there the next day. It's like, but we completely need it. Like if it did for some reason, God forbid, burn out, we would be fucked. Like we would cease to exist as we know it, and probably be chaos. Like it would be, like you were saying, apocalyptic. So I think there's probably something about the power dynamic or energy shift. Like, I don't know, I've never seen one in person before, but I imagine it would be quite jostling to the system. I also was thinking, like, what would it be like in like ancient times when tribes are living on the earth or whatever, and they like don't have the technology that we have to like know that this eclipse is coming? And like I'm sure intuitively they have people that probably say or know, but like could you imagine just being like out working or hunting and gathering, and then like the sky just goes dark for 6 minutes? Like think what that process would be like.
It's crazy. Like I think about that all the time. Like, I don't know exactly what they had, or they might have had people able to like chart these things back in. I mean, obviously there was some time where humans are around where they maybe didn't have knowledge of this, but I'm just thinking like how early did they start charting shit? Like I'm just thinking back to like Galileo, and like they were, I don't know how, because that shit sounds really difficult.
I think they knew were starting before that, but it was more like intuitive and like looking up at the sky and stuff. Like I do think they intuitively intuitively did follow the stars and use astrology and stuff, but it wasn't as like documented and charted at that time. Because you think of like the temples and stuff that are set up like in line with like the stars, and like that's a whole other thing to get into. Or yeah, but that was from ancient times. And
right,
but I just think of like, I don't know, I'm just like imagining someone in a tribe, like I'm like out there, I'm like picking berries out in the forest, and all of a sudden like it gets dark and it stays dark, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and then all of a sudden it gets light again, and I'm just like that would be crazy, like just in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, also total eclipses seem like, is it not like crazy that a total eclipse can happen? Like total, like shouldn't that be like super, super rare? And I know like, no, they are rare, but like to like totally eclipse, like to be totally in line and to like block out the sun totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about this on our eclipse episode. hollow moon eclipse.
It's just crazy.
Go listen to it, folks.
And what?
Yeah.
No, it's, hopefully it's, I didn't ask this already. I feel like this is like a dumb question maybe, but what is the difference between a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse? Because
yeah,
I feel like I don't solar get eclipse, it.
A solar eclipse is when the moon is completely blocking yeah, the sun.
I get
so
that.
It's the oh yeah that's true, we've just been talking about that. Yeah, so what in comparison, so the order of the celestial bodies is sun, moon, earth, so it's a moon sandwich. And then for a yeah, lunar eclipse the moon is on it's a also a perfect alignment, but the moon is on the other side, so it's sun, earth, moon, so it's during a full moon. So solar eclipses only happen during a new moon because we're seeing the black side of the moon. We're seeing the dark side of the moon because the whole bright side of the moon is facing the sun. So a lunar eclipse is when the earth's shadow is when the sun casts is when, yeah, the earth's shadow is cast on the moon. And that is one of the rays that they proved that the earth was round, because we saw the shadow on, we saw the shadow of the earth on the moon. So yeah, a lunar eclipse is, that's why like a lunar eclipse, the moon will look like reddish or something. So it's sun, earth, moon in perfect alignment such that the earth's shadow gets cast onto the moon. And that's why the
moon. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand now.
Yeah. So the only, I mean, lunar eclipses are like, okay. They're not as cool as solar eclipses.
Well, yeah, no, a total solar eclipse is very, very cool. Just even yeah, a partial solar eclipse. But I understand so what that was, but I was like, the lunar part I wasn't, because I'm like, yeah, does the sun go in front of the moon? I'm like, no, that doesn't, that does not work, that doesn't make sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
that would be interesting.
Makes sense that it's the earth yeah, that's in between the sun and the moon.
Yeah, the earth's in between. Mm-hmm. yeah so like overall I would say, sure, if the weather was, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, everything happens for a reason. I don't have any negative things to say about my eclipse experience. It happened the exact way that it was meant to happen. Of course, like, maybe if it was perfect weather, whatever, yeah, that would have been a different experience and I could have seen it, or like, I didn't really care that much about seeing it. Like, yeah, it would have been cool to see it with like the ring around. Like, I guess that would yeah, have been cool. Sure. But I got the experience. Like, I was hoping to get an experience out of it. And like, I got an experience that feels like it was life changing.
Wow. Well, and that's what was the talk of this eclipse, that this eclipse will be life changing and for the trajectory of humanity. And so I know I was definitely feeling it after. I was like, so exhausted. And it's crazy too how us humans, like, I feel like I'm judging myself. I'm like, why are you so tired? Like, you know. And then I met up on this like group Zoom thing, and everyone's like the exact same mm-hmm, symptoms, and every single person is like, I am fucking exhausted. Like, I like yeah, can't pick myself up out of bed. And I'm like, oh, foof. Like, at least it's not just after me. But goes to
we're
show,
talking after the eclipse, right?
That was like a little bit after the eclipse. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I had the exact same thing too. Like I also experienced that fatigue, and I noticed online, like a lot of people did too. For a few days after that, I got back, there was like, yeah, I took like long ass naps in the middle of the day, just like crazy fatigue. And yeah, you were experiencing the same thing. I was seeing a lot of the same things online. So I think that there was something energetically happening there for
there's
sure,
a lot, and like neck and shoulder pain. And like, I also recently seen a lot of people have been experiencing that, or I was on another Zoom call for some other stuff, and like all of the women in there, also there was like 10 or 11 12 of us or something, they all were like experiencing neck and shoulder pain too, because that's something that I sometimes think is just like me, but no, they were all experiencing it at the same time. So it's interesting. Goes to show how we're so connected to each other, to the planets, to the moon, to the sun, to what's happening with them, their like the movements, everything. And aren't like all the planets like lined up or something right now too? Like, isn't it something like that?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, they might, it might be, but sometimes I don't pay attention to that stuff. Something else was wanting to come through about the eclipse being like a pause, a pause moment.
A pause in the dark, in the void.
Yeah. A pause in the void to realign. A pause, like a chiropractic realignment. And yeah, yeah. Pause, readjust, continue.
I love that. I mean, and like also the pause, like in the dark, like in the void, because the void, the darkness, the womb, like that's where all creation comes from. All creation comes from this place of darkness. All creation comes from darkness. Yeah. Like, you know, like we're birthed out of our mom's wombs. We're in complete darkness.
That is part of like, yeah, that is part of the significance of it. Like the significance of eclipses in general, the alignment, the darkness, and how it's so momentary. And it's just like, yeah, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
Pause. Ooh.
So, a few, do you have anything to add? A few episodes ago, I was talking about my health stuff and what was going on with me. So if you haven't listened to those, go back to those to listen for some context. But there was this that I was speaking about this reel that I seen about these like scuba divers in the water. And I felt like that was like very much pertaining to what I was going through at the time and like being in this storm. So there's these scuba divers that are in the ocean and it's storming. Like the waves are crazy. It's raining. And the reel shows how like on the surface, it was just like crazy waves and they're in the middle of this big storm. And then they dive deeper and deeper into the water and it's so still and silent. And there's like, there's no storm happening the like deeper they go. And I just thought that was like so powerful and so interesting. And I was really contemplating that reel that I seen. And then recently, just yesterday, I came across this quote and I really wanted to share it with everyone. How can you silence the surface of the ocean? You can't. How can you find any stillness on the ocean? You can't. The nature of the ocean is to have little waves and big waves, and that is called oceanness. So the stillness is below the surface of the ocean, not on the surface of the ocean. Trying to silence the mind on the level of the waves of the surface of the mind is futile. No, you dive below the mind, underneath the thinkingness. Below thinkingness, a priori, prior to the thinkingness, is an infinite field, an energy field of silence. This silence is present now, even as you listen to these words. Underneath that talkingness is an infinite, profound sense of silence. This is the infinite field of the self with a capital S, the Buddha nature, the field of consciousness itself. A quote by David Hawkins.
Ooh. Wow. That's so good.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. It's like, I think it's so important to like remember that we're not really supposed to quiet the mind. It's like, everyone says like, oh, meditation, like, oh, I need to quiet my mind. It's like, our minds are computers.
Yeah.
Our minds are computers and like, they're not for us to control in that way. But yeah, I really like that quote. It just, because people like spend too much energy trying to like quiet their mind, or people get too down on themselves for having an overactive mind or something. And it's like, yeah, meditation can bring you kind of into a calmer place like that. But I don't, that was the biggest thing that stuck out with me in that quote about they're like the ocean, the top of the ocean isn't like, you don't have control over that. Like,
Well,
it's going inward.
I think it's speaking to how there's different layers that we have access mm-hmm. to, right? I just thought it was interesting how I was literally yeah. talking about this reel and I was like contemplating this. And then I'm like, this quote like perfectly explains like my, like what was happening yeah. like in this reel of these yes. scuba divers in the ocean. It was just really interesting. But I think there's different layers. So what it's saying is, yeah, the waves and the thinking mm-hmm. is kind of the top and the surface of the ocean. But to like find that silence, you have to go inward. You have to go deeper. So this to me is the coming out of the mm-hmm. surface and deepening into the body. So dropping into the heart space. Yeah. So that's also interesting. So if you think of thinking happens in waves, like thought patterns, thought yeah. forms, waves that are happening in the mind. Yeah. If we drop below the mind, we're dropping into the heart. And if we drop below the heart, we're dropping into the gut brain and then even like our root, which is like grounding us into the earth. So I think in that mm-hmm. way, it's also really interesting. Yeah. And it's just speaking to this like the going in deeper to yourself, because most people operate at this like thinking, they're on the surface level. Most of their life is on the surface, right? Like we forget that we're on this rock flying through space and we have access to these different layers, these different higher or lower that we, anyways. And, you know, like we get into very much the patterns of the systems and we're kind of living on this surface level of like, I'm the center of my universe, yada, yada, yada. And then deepening, I think, allows you to go to leave that space. You don't have to end the thoughts, but you go from a different space, leaving that and going in deeper where you have more access to that soul, to the soul, your mm-hmm. soul. And that's yeah. also like all the answers that we're seeking for that this brain, the wavy brain, the thoughts are trying to figure out, well, my rent is due. What about this dilemma? What about this? So I got to get this done. I have this big to-do list. We know, our soul knows. We know all the answers. So when we actually let ourselves go deeper and drop into that soul where there's that silence, it's like the space of nothing and the space of everything. It's this dark void mm-hmm. of the eclipse where all creation comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool.
Yes. That's exactly what it was making me think of. It was making me think of like the beginning of the Sophia Code mm. where it's like the womb, the creation, like it's everything. Like it's everything. There's no separation. There's, you know, can't even do the words justice.
Well, so know what I was doing on the eclipse, because you were out like watching and stuff. I've starting to reread the Sophia Code. I wouldn't say read because it's much more than that, but I'm going through the Sophia Code for my second time. And I did the Isis mm-hmm. chapter and initiation. I was doing it, actively speaking it out into reality as the eclipse was going over.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Like that.
And I'll get into this. I had this really profound and beautiful experience that I had not experienced the first time that I went through it. The first time I went through it, it was super profound too. Like super, super profound. Like this is like a DNA activating transmissions of like the rise of Christ mm-hmm. consciousness across the planet. But so now, because I think you can go through it as many times as you want when you feel ready for it, when you intuitively feel ready for that. And I think there's like a deepening, like the layers that we were talking of, there's a deepening each time that you go into it of these layers. So Isis is the first initiation and activation, and I decided to read it out loud and do the whole ceremony during the eclipse. And I had this moment with Isis where I had all this emotion just bubble up and I started crying because it was like I let her in. Like I felt like maybe I've been avoiding her over the past little bit, like not super consciously, but I had mm-hmm. been avoiding like sitting down and really connecting with her and listening to her. And I was taken back to this past life that we actually had together in the flesh. Like I I don't think I was with any other Ascended Masters. Anyways, it's a whole thing. But I was actually, this lifetime, I was with her in the flesh, and we in a mystery school in Egypt. And we had this moment. Yeah, it was really cool. And we had this moment where we just embraced and hugged each other. And the emotion that came out of me, like, I was ugly crying. Like, I just started, like, ugly crying because I, like, I missed her, like, so much. Whoa. And it's even making me emotional talking about it right now. It's not something I can explain. It's something that just, like, happened. But it was, like, I just missed her. And it was like, I was just like embracing an old friend, an old sister. And we just had that moment where we're like, sister. And she's like, I'm so happy that like you're here with me again. And I'm just like crying. And I've like, I've missed you so fucking much. Like, I'm so sorry that I've like turned away from you, or I haven't been like as open to connect with you as I would have liked to be. Like, it was profound. And then I seen this past life just like crystal clear of our work and our time together, and we were learning from Hathor, because Isis is teaching the Hathor lineage, who I also feel quite connected to, and so that was coming. Yeah, so we were learning the Hathor mystery school, the Hathor lineage that Isis was facilitating at that time in Egypt during the golden age of Egypt.
Whoa. Wow, that is really powerful. Wait, was the remembrance of the past life, was that on the eclipse day? Is that what you're saying?
I had remembered it before, but I hadn't like really let myself go into it, and I like really let myself go into it this time.
Wow.
And like, yeah, I could see myself. Like, I was this very tan girl. I was very tall in this lifetime, and I had these big feet and like this curly hair. And I was like living with her and learning from her over my lifetime, and learning, you know, the alchemy of Isis. But, and it's really interesting because sometimes like these stories, like they're very personal, like they're very personal to come on the podcast and like speak of these. Like, sometimes I even have resistance to speaking about it because I'm like, I don't know, in this like new age movement or whatever, I think a lot of people are talking about their connection to Isis and the goddesses and the yada yada yada. And I was Mary Magdalene in a past life. And you know, there's like, everyone was Mary Magdalene in a past life. And it's like, well, we all Mary Magdalene. Like, how does that work? Although I think that's a thing too. I think there can be fractals that come off, and it is possible for us to all like be that. But anyways.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes I have a resistance in speaking of that, because I don't want to be like, you know, I'm the one who's connected to Isis. It is very personal. But I think if you're listening to this, if you resonate with being a starseed, you resonate with stuff we're talking about, you have your own connection in these lineages too. And it's your own journey and your own story of how that comes to you and how you connect with it and stuff, because there's different teachers in the Sophia Code, for example, using that book, that transmission as an example. And there's some that I feel more connected to than others. I'm connected to all of them, but there's some that they're like your overlighting mentors that you're like deeper connected with. Like, some people will be like, I'm connected. Like, I feel so connected to Green Tara. Like, she comes to me at these times, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I'm not super connected to Green Tara. I don't resonate with that, her energy as much, but I do really respect her energy and really appreciate her energy. And that's something that might even come later. Who knows? But I do find that there's like, you know, different energies within that each of us will resonate and really connect to for different reasons. And if you feel called to any of that, I invite you to, you know, explore it and feel into it, because I do think that this is something that most of us, if not all of us, have access to. I mean, I do think on a human level, we all have access to it, but I think there's different things in the way which maybe could be like our what we have contracted out for this lifetime and stuff like that. Because there is these souls too who have contracted that we're here to help, and have contracted that we're going to access this information and this type of consciousness in this lifetime. But if you're here and you're listening, you're on this path. If it's connecting with goddesses, or if it's just raising your consciousness or awakening, or, I mean, these are all kind of buzzwords, but like you're on this, mm-hmm. you're on some type of path. You're on some type of journey here mm-hmm. of deepening your relationship with self.
Yes.
So yeah, I would say you know, you have access to this too. And if it is the goddesses, or if it's just the access to the deeper remembering of self, that access to our past lives, our Atlantean lives. That was another past life that I've had come through recently. If it's that the remembrance of our connection to the earth and how we have access to that, if it's even the remembering of just that, it's just the remembering of our ability to listen. We get so caught up in this thinking wave surface. Oh, I love this quote so much. I feel like so much is coming to me after this, but we get so, you know, we're living in this thinking on the surface, but we have access to this going within and this silence where also everything comes from the silence. And then that's where we get to use our subtle senses, and we get to learn to listen to the earth and build that connection. Listen to the animals, listen to the plants, you know, the spirits, the ourselves, like, because really, once you know how to drop, like, you know, this is what Lucia, who we love to talk about, facilitates in linking awareness, is like the subtle sense and remembrance. Because once you know how to go into that space, it doesn't matter what you're listening to. It's not like you can listen to all of it. You know, you can connect to anything. Like it's the same way I go into the past lives. It's the same way I may talk to an animal or connect with Isis or how you're tapping into the frequencies of different galaxies and star systems and the sun and like it's all same, but different. So it might be different, whatever our things are, but we all have access to that listening to the connection of really of walking our soul path, our soul destiny, and wherever that connection, because we're all meant to be connected to each other, to the earth, to our spirit team, whatever it is. And there might be something that's like overlighting, that's, you know, a shining light, that's, you know, a lighthouse for your destiny path, for your soul path.
That's so interesting. Do you want to wrap with talking about Vegas, baby?
Sure, yeah. So drum roll, dun da dun da da. What are we doing, Alyssa?
We're going to Vegas, baby. Woo!
For my bachelorette.
Vegas.
Woo! Do, do, do. That's funny. Hi, Osa. Woo! Osa, like, at the exact minute, you're like, Vegas, like, busted in the door.
Osa's like, Vegas. Yeah,
you won't be coming, Osa. Sorry. You'll be with Daddy. Woo! So, yeah,
That's Michaela's
dog. I got the go-ahead for my health that I'm able to go to Vegas, and this has kind of been my dream bachelorette, so... We're doing the things. We're going to go to Vegas and we're going to party. And
I'm excited. I've never been to crazy Vegas.
Because like you live in the States. Like I'm so surprised in like your college era.
It's 5 hours away.
Is it a five hour plane ride?
It's like 4 or 5 hours.
Probably same as me.
Probably four. It's 4 hours from you?
Same
distance to you.
I mean, it's about a 4 hour plane ride, I would say, ish. Probably 4 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going like down the... Yeah, I'm going straight across.
what does it matter?
Yeah, I've never been. I don't know. Straight across. I don't know. That's just a side note. That's just a side note of truth.
Yeah, I'm surprised though, that you never did like a college trip with your friends or ever something, or any of your other friends that have got married, or I mean, like, not like you have to go to Vegas. No one, you don't have to. Yeah. It's definitely like a trip that you have to commit to.
No,
but.
Like I'm surprised too. It just, the opportunity has never presented itself. So I just have never been. And yeah, but and it's also now going to be the second time that we're meeting in person. And this time
she feels so weird.
Well you won't.
I was trying to look for a photo of us the other day. And I'm like, wait, we have one photo together because we've only been together in person once. Yeah. But it's just that feels so crazy. Because we meet like, I mean, not only do we talk like constantly, but like we're at least Zooming with each other once a week usually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you were like pretty sick last time
we
were
hanging out. I was so sick.
When we met for the first time.
Like I haven't been sick since then. And I actually now I have flashbacks of it where I feel bad because I'm like, I wish I would have like taken you to do things. Like there's so many things that I would have loved to have done with you. But I was so sick that I can barely remember when you were here. Like it's like a clouded memory in my mind. Yeah. Like I'm like, I can barely even remember it.
That's so crazy. Yeah, it was like
even getting through
recording.
I must have been coughing the entire I was coughing the entire time through that episode, wasn't I?
Yeah, there was some coughs going on for those episodes. When we were in person, we recorded a two-part episode about Shambhala Music Festival that you had just come back from, which was why you were sick for the most part. And then we also recorded an episode about aliens and about disclosure.
Go listen to those if you haven't listened to them. Especially if you're into like music festivals and stuff. I talk about the music festival Shambhala in Canada, which is like if you're in the festival community, it's like a pretty big deal. It's one of the coolest festivals out there, if not in the entire world. It's very, very unique for reasons that I mentioned like in the podcast, but I just gotten back from there. So I speak about my time there. So yeah, definitely go check out that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like that was the only time that we met and I stayed at your house for like 5 days or four, maybe like 5 nights, 4 days.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And yeah, next time I'll do more with you.
A little rough for you.
I flash back to it. I'm like, oh, like I wish I would have taken Alyssa to like the waterfalls or like taken her down to the beach and we could have had a beach day. Like, no, like I was.
Well, we did go swimming. We went swimming in the lake. Yeah. Yeah, we went swimming in the lake one day. I have
no recollection of it.
It was like a quick dip. It was more like a. We went down, we swam for like a little bit and then we came back up.
I don't remember it. And I'm not usually like that. I usually have a pretty good memory of like stuff like that. So yeah, that just goes to show how and like out of it I was.
Yeah, I was a little unfortunate for you, but
it's okay.
That's still good. Had a good time. I loved your house.
Yeah, you were
so cute. And I loved bonding with Osa. Yeah,
she's a sweetheart. You'll be back and we'll do more. You'll be back. I mean, you're going to come back in the summertime. I don't know if you'll be here specifically, but we'll see each other again in the summer and in Vegas. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, Vegas. I'm so excited, but I will say, yeah, like when I was younger, I had like no, inkling, that's like not the right word, but I had no desire to go to, to go to Vegas. Like I just wasn't something like, and I love to travel. I'm such a traveler, but Vegas just like never interested me. Like I never grew up and was like, I want to go to Vegas. But then Bryce moved to Vegas and he lived there for a year to play hockey with the UNLV, the university team there. And so like, I have to go to Vegas now. And I went like 5 times that year and I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. It's like an adult playground. I don't know, so much fun. And I've never done like a girls trip to Vegas. Ever since I was there, I wanted to do a girls trip because going with your girls to Vegas is just different than like being with your boyfriend. Like, I love you, Bryce. I had a great time with him, but it's just different experience. And so I'm like really looking forward to this. And what better time? It's also just like a time, like it's a place where you can just like party all the time. Cause it's like, you know, like we're in our later 20s, but you're 31.
I'm
in my later 20s,
guys.
And so, which is like, doesn't mean that you can't like go out and have a good time, but like around here, there's not really a nightlife. Like there is like a club and stuff, but it would just feel weird. Like I would just feel out of my element. Like,
yeah.
But when you go to Vegas, it's like, no, everyone there is dressed up. They're looking good. They're having a good time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 70 plus. Like everyone is there just having a good time. Mm-hmm. So I'm pumped about it. I'm pumped to like put on something slutty and go out or like, because I wear sweatpants every single day and I love my sweatpants. That's why I wear them. But like, I'm looking for a good
sometimes
time.
You gotta let loose sometimes. And yeah, I'm really excited for us to get some quality time and to meet your friends and your sister. And yeah, well, it's nice that we'll have that weekend so that it's not like the next time I see you in person will be at your wedding.
I agree. It'll also be fun because I'll get to show you a little bit of like the rave side of my life, because that's the one really nice thing with Vegas and why I wanted to go there, because like there's so many options for clubs that you want to go to. All the clubs are fun too, like you don't feel out of place. And there's so many options as far as like DJs and EDM, which like if you listen to Shambhala, like I'm into EDM music and raving and stuff like that. So I'll get to show you that little piece of me, because I've already kind of put us on a guest list for some DJs that I'm looking forward to going to.
Abundance. Ooh, we're doing it.
Calling that in. And yeah, we'll get to dance.
Yeah.
Because I love it's already
here.
Because I love dancing. And it's going to be great.
Yeah. So look forward to our Vegas recap episode sometime. That'll be happening sometime in the summer. Vegas recap.
Yeah, look forward to that. I'm like, what's that saying? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Vegas recap will be the first two minutes of the episode.
Recap it, maybe we'll see how it goes. But yeah, very much
looking
forward to it. It's gonna be a time. So very exciting for me, for all of us, and we got to get on booking that. So
we shall. Beautiful. On that note,
let's wrap it up.
Wanna wrap?
Wrap it up like
great.
A little gift, which is the present.
Oh God, love it. Was that, did you just think of that? Is that a
no,
thing?
I recently seen a quote. Actually, have you, you're not like into.
You and your quotes.
Yeah. You're not really, really into cartoons.
No, I like
which
it.
Is like kind of annoying.
No. You know, this always comes up. There's always something that comes up on the podcast. How you talk about cartoons and asking if I know some cartoon or something. And no, I can't say. I love SpongeBob. I'm a huge SpongeBob fan. But other than that. Don't make that face.
I didn't realize this always came up on the podcast. That's funny.
It's come up.
I've always liked cartoons. And I like cartoons with Bryce. I know, like, I remember when he lived with his one friend, too. We were watching, like, Despicable Me, and he was like, why are you watching this? And we're like, why are you not watching this? Like, it's weird to me. Like, it seems to me it's very normal, especially if you're like, you know, indulging in maybe a little cannabis, you're having a chill night, you're getting some snackies, some ice cream, like you put on a funny cartoon. Like, there's nothing better.
Yeah, I guess
I'll have to show you. Well,
like when you say it, like when you say it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I guess it was just
especially
not
when they're like
my
funny
go-to.
And cute. Bryce and I love cartoons. Like we watch them like so much. But when you were when you were talking about like core memories, I'm like, have you seen?
Yes. Inside Out.
We were out watching
that
one the other
that.
Day. That one is so good.
Oh yeah,
it's rated really highly,
really
which
one.
I could tell.
Love it.
I was gonna say
and
that
Soul.
One too. Yeah, you actually were the one who told me about Soul. So see, you do watch so cartoons good. Sometimes.
Oh yeah, I watched the. Okay. I love the Pixar movies and everything.
Soul
so
is really
good.
Inside Out and Soul are really good. So like, go watch both of those if you're listening and you like cartoons. I was gonna say Kung Fu Panda.
It always comes back to Kung Fu Panda with you. I feel like you talk about it all the time.
I would really like to hear the listener's take on this, because it surprises me to hear that I talk about Kung Fu Panda often.
I don't know, but I don't know if it was a deja vu moment. I don't know. You saying Kung Fu Panda, I'm like, again? No, but continue.
Okay. Continue. Have you watched Kung Fu Panda?
No.
What? It's wild. Okay. Okay, actually, you gotta watch Kung Fu Panda.
Okay.
You just do. Okay, so everyone that's listening is going to be like, I know Kung Fu Panda. I highly doubt there's anyone who's listening right now who's never seen Kung Fu Panda, so they get it.
Okay. I know of it, yes.
So in Kung Fu Panda, but I mean, it's about Kung Fu. So there's like the Fab Five, or whatever they're called, the Ferocious Five, that are like these big superheroes that know, that are the Kung Fu masters in China. And so like, yeah, Kung Fu, like any martial arts, is like, you know, disciplined, and you're learning underneath someone, if it's like your sensei, or I don't know what they're called, but anyways, they're learning underneath their master. And then that master has a master too. And he's this, yeah, Master Shifu. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Master Shifu is the little guy with the ears, who is the, okay, Fab Five. You're like, you're losing me.
I believe you.
Okay. Master Shifu, he has a funny name, is the guy with the ears that is teaching the up-and-coming Kung Fu prodigies, masters, superheroes, whatever. So above Master Shifu, he has a master, and I forget his name right now, but he is this tortoise, this turtle, and he's talking to the Kung Fu Panda, which, that's a whole thing. And he's like, fuck, what did he say now? Just a second.
Uh-huh. Do you just stop your video?
Did I? Yeah. It's just a brief part. You are too concerned with what was and what will be. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That is why it is called the present.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of that before.
I'm sure you did.
I've heard that quote.
It's not just from Kung Fu Panda, but that's that was like the whole,
yeah,
the whole spiel.
Oh, that's what we were talking about, the thing where you did the present. I forgot how we got into any of this.
Yeah, the present. Yeah, that was that was a real tangent, but
yeah, a little bit.
Okay. it's not from Kung Fu Panda, but the master was teaching it in Kung Fu Panda because of the Dragon Scroll.
Right.
Which Dragon Scrolls, Dragon Warrior, is also very relevant to right now, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Year of the Dragon.
Well, and the Sophia Dragon Tribe.
Oh, yeah, that too. I thought you were talking about the Chinese year.
Well, all of it. It all goes together.
All of it. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyways. The now is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
The present. It's a gift. So thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Please make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. If you have not, check out all of these episodes on YouTube with full video. And also give us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. If you're enjoying this, and recommend it to a friend. Everyone has at least one spiritual friend. Maybe. Hopefully. So tell them. Tell them. Follow me on Instagram at interdimensional.astrophysics. Follow Michaela at Mariposa Moonchild, and the podcast at The Orphic Podcast. Do it. Anything else to add? Beautiful. Have a lovely day, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.